Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have spent so many hours on this program talking about global warming, and this hour we are going to talk about making the world green. So we'll give you all kinds of advice with the author of a guide on green. It's green is good, save money, make money, and help your community profit from clean energy. Brian Keene is president of Smart Power, and he is our guest. He's the author of the book. The guide can help you make clean energy and energy efficiency really a part of your daily life. It has all kinds of suggestions of things that you need to do to see if your home is energy efficient, some things if you're considering upgrading your property, the windows that you may want to look at, the transportation, a checklist for or where energy may be wasted in your home. So there's lots of information here. And Brian is our guest this hour. We'll be welcoming phone calls because I know you're an audience that practices this as well, for you to join the conversation about green is good and what we can do to help our communities profit from clean energy. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Kathleen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks. Thank you.
So good to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you here. We've done so many programs on global warming and the great crisis that we face. It's really nice, Brian, to have somebody who can give us some hope here. Do you, as you were putting the book together, did you feel this sense of urgency about what's happening to the planet? And did you feel that people are responding to a real crisis for the planet? Are people stepping up to the plate here?
You know, and exactly, and yes, there is a real crisis. And I think what I really felt most is actually almost a frustration from people that they don't know what to do. What can I do to be part of the solution?
Mm-hmm.
So we've spent a tremendous amount of time talking about the problem, and the problem is huge, and the solutions are huge. But what's really exciting is that every single one of us can be part of the solution. And that's really what Green is Good is about,
mm-hmm.
is how can every single one of us do something in our everyday lives to actually stop climate change.
Mm-hmm.
How can we be part of that solution? And it's really quite dramatic. It's quite simple.
Go ahead.
Well, think about it like this. When we were kids, Kathleen, the biggest energy drain in the house was the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
But today, the biggest energy drain in the house is the flat-screen TV.
Is it really?
It is. And it's actually the flat-screen TV when it's off. When you think you've turned it off, when you've clicked your remote control, turned it off, that TV is still drawing power. And it's drawing almost $100 a year in what we call phantom load.
Wow.
That's energy that you're using. You don't even know you're using it, but you're being charged for it. So now consider the fact that most American homes today have more flat-screen TVs than they have children, and you're talking huge amounts of energy. So what's really happening, really kind of what we need to alert people to, is that, you know, the way we use energy has changed. And so a large part of what Green is Good is about, what my organization Smart Power is about, is simply getting people to be energy smart,
mm-hmm.
getting us to understand that, you know, we use energy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It is as ubiquitous as air, and yet we don't even know how we're using it. So let's get people to be energy smart is really where we're at.
So what are you saying here? You're supposed to unplug the flat screen TV?
Yeah, think about it like this. Actually, put it on a power strip. And so, you know, the big challenge with your TV specifically is you want to make sure that cable box stays on because you don't want to have to reboot that cable.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So keep that plugged into the wall. But put your TV onto a power strip. And when you're done watching TV, click off that power strip, and the power goes right off. And you'd be amazed how you start to save energy.
Oh.
I mean, look around your house. Look around your house. Today's American kitchen, the average American kitchen has 4 clocks. And none of them tell the right time, but they're all drawing power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your microwave oven, the most energy your microwave oven uses is to power the clock, not to cook food. I mean, isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And so what's happening is that our houses are the average American home today, 10% of your energy use is just in phantom load. Just 10% already turns on in energy you don't even know that you're wasting. So we're not even talking about, you know, telling people to lower the heat or, you know, turn off the air conditioning. It's simply, let's be smart about what we have. Let's use that. Let's take that 10% phantom load. And how about if we cut that in half? If we can cut that in half, that's a game changer. Today in the United States, there are 16 coal-fired power plants powered today just to produce the phantom load in this country. So think of that. It is incredible. 16 power plants just to produce waste that we don't even know we're wasting.
Right.
So if climate change is the biggest issue, and I think it is, coal-fired power plants are a huge part of that problem. How do you shut them down? You stop the demand for energy. Mm-hmm. Now, let's stop that right away with phantom load, which is energy we're not even demanding. We don't even want it. I don't even know. I don't need my TV to be on when I'm not watching it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about the flat-screen TV. I'm going to do something about that tonight, for heaven's sake. But we also need to look at alternatives to those coal-fired plants, too. And there are a lot of suggestions in the book. Let's start with some things that perhaps are not as well-known before we get to solar and to wind. And let's go, please, to Randy Jordan's farm in Rutland, Massachusetts.
That's right, the digesters. And it's exciting. I mean, it's particularly relevant for Wisconsin. I mean, you know, here's the problem. There's a lot of energy problems that we're facing right now. One of them is climate change, obviously. The other is actually just simply supply. We need more energy. We're using so much energy. And so in order to fill that demand, we need to be creative. We need to be smart about how we're creating our energy. So actually, these digesters are phenomenal. And basically what it is, it's a giant machine that basically you put in cow manure, and it turns that cow manure into energy. And it's incredibly helpful for farms. It's incredibly helpful for all agrarian societies and communities. And so it really becomes a real piece of the solution. Now, obviously, we're not saying that everybody must have a digester tomorrow. And in fact, you know, some of the inner cities have actually tried to bring digesters into their communities. And quite frankly, it doesn't really solve the problem because, you know, one city particularly, what they had to do, they started driving giant pickup trucks of cow manure into the city to power that digester. And it's like, well, that's kind of defeating the purpose. We don't need more trucks, you know, with diesel fuel bringing cow poop in. What we need is actually to put these things where they really are needed and where they really can work efficiently and effectively. So it's really exciting. I mean, when you think about energy today and kind of renewable energy, we always maintain that this is not crazy stuff in the future. This is stuff that's actually happening now. And that's what we talk about in the book, that this stuff is real, it's here, and it's available. You can use it at any time. People think an awful lot about solar power, and solar power is incredibly exciting right now in this country. But you know, by the way, today, 90% of the solar power in existence today in the United States was installed just in the past 4 years.
Was it? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. My. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And it really does show, you know, the policies of the administration are actually starting to work, that, in fact, we do need more energy. And solar power is a huge piece of that solution.
Yeah.
And it's also, by the way, something that that regular people can do. It's not simply kind of, you know, oh, this is a problem that they can fix. This is the way I could be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
To actually put solar on my house if I have my own house. Or actually even buy into kind of a solar collaborative, if you will, you know, kind of community solar effort to help my community create solar. It really gets very exciting.
You also, and we'll go back to solar, you also write about, and there's a school in Wisconsin that uses geothermal. I had no idea geothermal, you say, gets less attention than wind power. But Philippines, El Salvador, and Iceland fill a quarter or more of their energy needs by tapping into the heat produced deep in the earth. That's amazing. And it's big in California.
It's incredible. You know, geothermal, Reykjavik, 100% of its power comes from geothermal.
Goodness.
And it really is amazing. And, you know, it's really available. It is simply energy from the earth. It's the heat coming up from the earth. And if you dig down, you get it. And so it's really exciting that you actually just see, oh, it's simply a matter of trenching. And then putting the pipes in place, and you have heat, you have electricity, you have energy, you have air conditioning. I think in the book I talk about my wife's family has a horse farm in Northern Virginia. It's an historic property, and it was used in the Civil War as Jeb Stuart's headquarters. And that has never had air conditioning. But my wife's cousin put in geothermal, and now it's got air conditioning. And it's just incredible. And for an historic building to be able to do that.
Right.
You know, and so geothermal's become getting a lot of, pardon the pun, but a lot of steam. It's you know, we're seeing now that they figured out how you could even just dig deeper and actually use it in the inner cities too.
We're going to welcome phone calls for you, and we'll take them momentarily. We're speaking with Brian Keene this hour. He is the president of Smart Power. He appears on the White House Chronicle, contributes regularly to the Huffington Post. He has twice been named Connecticut's environmental hero by People's Action for Clean Energy. His book is Green is Good, Save Money, Make Money, and Help Your Community Profit from Clean Energy. He already told you about the power strip for your flat screen TV if you want to save some energy. The book is filled with information about geothermal and cow waste and human waste and electric bicycles and windows that will keep out the heat and all kinds of valuable information about how you can save money or even make money and help your community profit from clean energy. We are in a pledge drive. And the environment is important, I know, to many of you who listen, and so is Wisconsin Public Radio, so we can talk about the environment. For those of you who will pledge $120 this hour, we'll send you a copy of Green is Good. So here's our pledge number, 888-202-2552, or go to WPR.org. The book is Green is Good, $120 pledge, and that's good. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you very much for all of your pledges. This hour, we have a goal of 40 pledges. These hourly goals, as you may know, are crucial because they help us stay on track financially so we can keep our discussions on the air here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So take a moment, give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, it's really fun working out of the Milwaukee office for a lot of reasons, but there's a couple that really come to mind. First, we really kind of get this behind-the-scenes look to see what KP Whaley, the producer for this show, goes through to book these amazing guests every single day. But then also, Kathleen, we kind of get this little picture on what you do to prepare for these meaty and really inviting conversations. What you do here and how you leave every night with a big stack of books and how you come back with a big stack of books. And no one really sees this. I mean, all this is done behind the scenes every day to make this unique show come together. And you don't get a show like this anywhere else. And this show is possible pledge by pledge by pledge only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Show your support right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you give to WPR to support the programs. As an added incentive, we do have something special for you just this hour. We do a lot of shows on the environment. Brian Keene's book, Green is Good, it is yours when you give $120 or more, which is just $10 a month. Mm-hmm. And think of all the money you're going to save because you followed the advice in the book. So ask for it now when you make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I listen to WPR because it's informative, it's up to date, it's current, it's intelligent, thoughtful, inclusive. I would encourage everybody listening to become a sustaining member of WPR because public radio is essential. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it seemed the easiest way to make a solid donation. It's kind of like saving up for Christmas presents. If you do a little bit over time, all of a sudden you look at it over a year and it's an okay amount to say, it's not a lot, but it's what I can do. I'm Jean from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
And thank you, Jean. You can make your donation in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we are asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Whether your gift is $5 a month, $100 a month, got to tell you, we appreciate it, and we also count on your gift.
Maybe you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio because you sort of think, well, I don't know if I could really give enough to make this huge difference. I mean, really remember that listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, and not every donation is a huge gift.
Many first-time donors give $5 a month for their WPR listening. You decide whatever amount works for you. Make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, when I'm out talking to listeners, they all tell me how much they truly appreciate how much we are commercial free. Mm-hmm. And with that, though, you know, we have to depend on other sources of funding. And of course, state, federal, corporate funding all play a part in our budget.
But the single largest piece of our budget comes from you, and it's your support that makes a difference. It is really the backbone of our funding. Make your pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, we all in our lives support the things that we find meaningful and important. And I would guess that Wisconsin Public Radio is probably one of those things in your life. And with Wisconsin Public Radio, I mean, clearly you get information about all the events in the region and our world. But you also get music, humor, storytelling.
You'll want a lot of news and information in the coming year, and your support now will make that possible. So your pledge in any amount will make a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Listeners just like you provide the single biggest piece of our budget. So make a pledge, maybe $5 a month or $10 a month, or really any amount that's comfortable for you, and you'll be doing your part to keep Wisconsin Public Radio really strong and really healthy. You can do it at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we're looking, Lisa, for 36 more pledges. We have four who have pledged. This is a good hour to pledge because of this terrific way that you can save money. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports the programs you count on.
That's right. And like Kathleen mentioned, this is a great hour because for a pledge of $120 or more, which is about $10 a month, you can ask for Brian Keene's book, Green is Good. So pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're already a sustaining member, thank you so much. And if you're not, you can become one very easily. It's here's how you do it. You can make monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A sustaining membership is very convenient for you, and it provides reliable funding for WPR.
You know, Robert and Nancy from Pleasant Prairie, they have this lovely comment. I enjoy my day more when it's accompanied by Wisconsin Public Radio. What more do you need?
That's it. There
888-202-2552.
Remember, $120, and we're happy to send you our guest book. Brian Keene is our guest. Green is Good, How You Can Save Money, Make Money, and Help Your Community Profit from Clean Energy. So this is the hour for that. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, and Jeff in Madison is our first caller for you, Brian. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Two comments and a quick comment and a question. My first is that I am a sustaining member off a credit card. It's painless. Don't even feel it. Go ahead and do it, everyone.
There. Thank you, Jeff.
That's on my part. Number two is I'm proud to say my son's high school here in Madison, West High School, is in the midst of a big geothermal project to heat and cool the high school. They're about halfway done on it. It is an expensive $10 million project, but they expect it to pay for itself in something like, I think it's 8 to 12 years is the calculation. The high school will definitely be here, and after that time, it will be free. And now my question is, my brother-in-law in Massachusetts has gone through a company that is working on the West Coast, East Coast, to install solar panels on people's roofs for free. Not free to the company, but free to the user. My brother-in-law and sister benefit by reduced electrical rates. The company owns the panels, but they install them for free, and it's quite a saving to the user. I'm wondering if anyone is planning on doing that in the Midwest and particularly in Wisconsin in the near future. Does your guest know anything about that?
Sure.
And
Elon
Musk was doing it too, I think. I'll listen off
here. Thank you. Thanks so much, Jeff.
That's right. Yeah, right. And Jeff was talking about it. So Elon Musk's his kind of solar venture, I think he does it with his cousin or his brother, it's called Solar City. And it's fascinating. And there's a bunch of different companies out there doing a similar model. But basically how it works is that your roof is, in essence, is just sitting there. And so this company will come along and say, hey, look, can we use your roof? We will put solar on your roof, and we'll own the hardware. So you don't have to buy it. We'll own it. The power that's generated from that, we will actually sell back to the utility, and then the utility will use it throughout your community. But in exchange for us using your roof, we'll lock in your utility rates at today's rates for the next 20 years. And it's really incredible how it works, because basically people now have are able to then say, hey, I have solar. My house is actually producing energy for our community, and my utility bills are less. And it's really an exciting program. So where you see it working is actually where states have incredible solar, good solar policies. And so we need some work to do some work in Wisconsin to make sure we get the good policies in place. But it's a great program. The other point to Jeff's, that I just want to make on Jeff's comments about his son's high school. And what we're really seeing, Kathy, and this is a really important point, that energy use in this country really breaks down demographically. And so what you have is, you know, the greatest generation, you know, the our senior citizens, actually, they know how to save energy. They have from the time of the Depression, they save everything, and energy is just one of them. But their children, the baby boomers, actually are big wasters of energy, and they've always felt that saving energy was really kind of a financial issue. They think they lived, they grew up in cold, dark houses. And so they actually have a visceral reaction to this. And so they're kind of like, hey, look, you know what? I make enough money to power the house. We can keep the heat on. We can keep the air conditioning on. That light, by the way, that's not killing a polar bear. It's not my fault. And to basically power my house costs, you know, $100 a month or whatever it is. But they basically see that as the cost of doing business for the house. Now, their children, kind of what we call the echo boomers, high school students, college students today, they actually are the biggest wasters of energy of any demographic.
Are they really?
They are. It's amazing. They are plugged in constantly. They are charging everything.
Right.
They are using everything. They idle their cars. The average high school student, I think we found it takes about 40 minutes worth of hot shower a day. So they're using huge amounts of energy. Now, what's exciting, though, is actually that demographic. They believe climate change is real. They want to be a part of the solution. They just don't know how to be. So it's really incumbent upon us to actually show them how to be part of the solution, how to save energy, what they can do. So kind of Jeff's son's program at the high school is really exciting. That'll have legs far beyond their high school years. They will actually start growing up, realizing that energy is really important, and it's important to respect it. And we have to, you know, make nice with it. And when we do, we'll make money, we'll save money, and we'll actually help the environment at the same time.
Mm. Let's go to Pete next in La Crosse. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Kathleen and Brian. You know, phantom loads, those are a big deal. People should realize that a draw of 1 watt times a year, that's a dollar. So, Brian, you figure that a flat-screen TV draws $100 a year in electricity turned off. That might be a little high because that's 100 watts turned off. But the real reason why I'm calling is energy efficiency is so overlooked in our age, and even amongst people who are ready to write a check to put PV panels on their house, I can't get them to do an energy audit. You know, as far as their uninsulated foundation, their minimally insulated walls, no concern whatsoever as long as they have the PV panels on their roof. So I'm hoping your book spends some time talking about energy efficiency because, you know, the gains to be had or the savings to be had are so much cheaper than the more exotic technologies of even solar thermal or the very expensive photovoltaic. So do you cover energy efficiency in a meaningful way?
I do. And, you know, Pete, your point is spot on, which is that the least expensive energy, the best energy to use is the energy that you don't use. And so energy efficiency really is, it just makes sense. I mean, I'm really surprised, and I guess naively so, but I'm surprised that it continues to be kind of a political discussion. Like, why aren't we just being smarter with our energy? The concept of phantom load, and, you know, the $100 figure I use is, it changes literally from state to state and kind of region to region. It's anywhere from, you know, $50 all the way up to $100 that you could be charging for one TV to be off. And you multiply that by the TVs, and boy, you're talking money. But look around your house. Look at every little gadget you have that's drawing phantom load. Those cell phone chargers that you leave in the wall, you know, and then you take the phone and you run off to work, that phone charger is still drawing power. And, you know, it's about $10 a year for every cell phone charger that you're leaving and not charging. So you may think, hey, what's $10 a year? But take a minute and multiply the number of cell phone chargers in your house. And you'll see, like, holy cow, I got 10 of these things going at any one time. I'm talking real money. So it becomes really important. Your comment, Pete, also just on the home energy audits, what we like to call home energy assessments, is really important. And basically what's happening is that these utility companies all over the country, they have incredible energy efficiency programs, and yet we just don't know about them. And so what really, you know, kind of the call out should be, find out from your utility what's there. I bet you they have a home energy audit program, and I bet it, in some cases it's even free, maybe as much as $100, but in some cases it's free, and they'll come to your house, and they'll go through every nook and cranny and actually show you where you can save money and where you can save energy. And it's really exciting. But I would also just kind of caution on that, which is, and I would say to everybody who's listening today, it is true that every single one of us today, we are living in homes that are more energy efficient than the homes we grew up in. And it is just a fact. And Kathleen, you and me at the top of the list, I bet. I mean, we are all living in more efficient homes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, every single one of us today is using more energy than when we were kids.
Yeah.
And so what has to happen, it's not simply the buildings, it's not simply the people, it's actually everything together. So we need to educate and train ourselves how to use energy.
Yeah.
We need to make sure our buildings are the best and the smartest, and that they're being using energy the best and the wisest. But keeping in mind, you know, when I leave my office, and if I leave my computer on, I could have the best, you know, energy-efficient building in the world, but the computer's still on.
I'm guilty of that. I need to turn it off. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I will do that tonight. I promise. forevermore.
And another thing.
Because I talked to you. You thought this show wasn't worth anything. Look at what we do. We can change our lives. Thank you, Brian. Brian stays with us. Brian Keene is our guest this hour. His book is Green is Good: Save Money, Make Money, and Help Your Community Profit from Clean Energy. And for this particular hour, with a pledge of $120, we'll be very happy to change your life as well and send you a copy of this important book. He's an interesting person. He's from Connecticut, and he's won awards, actually, twice named Connecticut's Environmental Hero by the People's Action for Clean Energy. We're in our spring membership drive. If you didn't know, you know it now, and your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. We'll be back with Brian in just a moment into more of your phone calls. First, Lisa Nalbandian is with me, and we're here to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
Thank you to everyone who's already given today. And we're in this 2 o'clock hour. We're looking for 33 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. So if you haven't made the call yet today, the time is right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We try to do shows that have great meaning, and great meaning can be hard to find at times, although public radio people find great meaning in many places. You bring great meaning to us. It's why you listen to public radio. We really explore very important topics thoroughly.
Whether it's interviews we did recently with Wisconsin veterans or Ken Burns or Lincoln scholars or national experts on All Things Considered or, you know, HURL, how can we forget the Humor Research Lab, you can't get this kind of information anywhere else except for Wisconsin Public Radio. This kind of substance is only possible with your support. Make your contribution right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you can choose Brian Keene's book, Green is Good, as your thank you gift for your pledge of $120 or more, which is only $10 a month. It's your pledge that supports the programs, and you will enjoy this book. So make your pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
By the time you hear something on Wisconsin Public Radio, I mean, we've had hours and hours of thoughtful preparation going into it. The producers and hosts do a tremendous amount of work, so you get the highest quality radio programs. Thanks to your commitment today, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We don't charge you up front. You pay exactly what it's worth.
Oh, man, it's pledge drive again. I should change the station. They're not really talking to me. Someone else will pledge.
Don't change the station. Sarah, we are talking to you.
What?
Do you listen to WPR every day?
Yeah, every time I get into the car and every night when I cook dinner.
Do you rely on the news, information, and entertainment that you get from WPR?
Of course I do. But you guys have people with more money who can make a big difference with their donation.
Actually, Sarah, you make a difference. Don't count yourself out. It's pledges from everyday listeners like you added together that make up the single biggest part of our budget.
Are you sure?
We are absolutely sure.
We're talking to you.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian, and we're asking for your support of WPR during this spring membership drive. Your gift might be $10 or $20 a month, but whatever, it's the right amount.
A really good way to fit a contribution into WPR, into your budget, is to become a sustaining member. You'll make automatic, affordable monthly contributions from your credit card or bank account.
A lot of people give $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100. The amount is totally up to you. As a sustainer, you'll be an ongoing member of WPR, building a stable source of revenue for your favorite radio station. Contribute right now. Become a sustainer. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
A $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio is a little over 30 cents a day. Yeah. And I'm going to guess that you may spend a little more than 30 cents a day on things that you value a lot less than Wisconsin Public Radio.
I think that's very true, Lisa. So spend a little right now, and you will get a lot in return. Make your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Go online or call. You'll be investing in a station that you use.
We're looking for 30 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports the programs you count on.
This is the only hour for Brian Greene's book, Green is Good. Brian Keene's book. Did I say Green? Keene. Green. The book is Green is Good. Brian Keene is his name, and your pledge of $120 or more will send this to you. It's $10 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're already a sustaining member, thank you. If not, become one right now. I mean, we know it's good for the environment, which is the topic of this hour. So, and it's simple to set up ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for your support of WPR. Brian Keene is our guest. His book is Green is Good. Save money, make money, and help your community profit from clean energy. We have phone lines open for Brian right now. If you'd like to join our conversation, 800-486-8655 is our number. We had an email from Mike, and this was in the news in the New York Times over the weekend. The solar panel law, he says, written by Alec, passed in the Southwest. Is it going to happen elsewhere? What are you doing to counter this? We have this New York Times. It was an editorial, actually. They wrote, for the last few months, the Koch brothers and other big polluters have been spending heavily to fight incentives for renewable energy, which have been adopted by most states. They particularly dislike state laws that allow homeowners with solar panels to sell power they don't need back to electric utilities. So they've been pushing legislatures to impose a surtax on this increasingly popular practice, hoping to make installing solar panels on houses less attractive. You were just talking about solar panels on houses. What do you make of this, Brian?
Oh, it's very scary, and it's outrageous. I mean, here's what's happening. So there, in a number of states, there are laws that they call net metering laws. And it sounds a little inside baseball, but it basically allows homeowners who have solar to actually sell that solar power back to the utility when they're not using it, which just kind of seems to make sense. If you're not using the power, send it back to the grid and use it somewhere else. And so the concept of net metering has been a fantastic opportunity for homeowners who wanted solar. It's actually been a great opportunity for the solar suppliers, the guys who are actually going on the roof. It's giving them jobs. And it's really worked well for the utility companies because the utilities have needed power. So what's happened is that now some select individuals with the name Koch have seen the ability to actually go in and kill these net metering laws. And when they do, they really stifle the solar market. So it's amazing kind of foresight on their part that they can actually go to such kind of an arcane bill, an arcane law, change that law, and have the effect of really hurting solar. So it's very frustrating, because what we're seeing now, Kathleen, is actually that solar is really booming. You know, we know that solar costs are coming down dramatically. The hardware that comes in now from Japan or China is really inexpensive, and that's an incredible opportunity for people. We have programs now, solar programs, that basically are dropping by about 20% what we call the soft costs. That is kind of the cost that the suppliers, you know, incur by either marketing their solar or getting on the roofs and that type of stuff. And so you now have situations in different states where solar is becoming really comparable in cost to regular utility power. And so now is not the time to start creating more obstacles for solar. And so I'm really struck by this, because the opportunity for us with solar is so huge, not even just on a climate level. I mean, let's assume that you don't believe climate change is real. But we know this country needs more power. That's why we're having conversations about Keystone. That's why we're having conversations about fracking. Mm-hmm. We know we need more power. So if we all know that, why can't we now have policies that simply allow solar power to flourish the same way they want natural gas to flourish or coal or oil to flourish? I mean, why can't we just do that? And, you know, the president has articulated this quite well. He's basically saying, look, it's an all-of-the-above policy, and you can love it or hate it, but he's basically saying, look, that we need power to power this country, so let's use it all. And to put up barriers to solar power with net metering is just, it's actually politics at its worst. And we have maintained at Smart Power that, in fact, you know, renewable energy and energy efficiency is not a political argument. It's a consumer choice. And so people should be able to buy it or not buy it as they want. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of the goal. We want people to buy this stuff like they buy Coca-Cola, to be energy efficient the same way, you know, they buy McDonald's. You know, why can't we just have that happen?
Let's go to David in Viroqua next. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. On the issue of energy efficiency, my partner and I out here in Viroqua 2 years ago built the Nguyen House, which is Wisconsin's second passive house. Its heat requirement during the normal winter is able to be taken up by about 2 hair dryers.
Oh.
And then we followed that up with what we call our nearly passive house, which they use backup heat as wood, and their bills for this last year were about $50 for the entire winter.
Jeez, that's pretty good.
And that's how you save energy.
That's right. That's impressive. That is impressive. You know, the and I think what we'll start to see, David, is that with new construction now starting to pick up again, you're going to start to see some of these innovations. You're going to start to see homes that are clearly designed to be energy efficient, that actually are clearly designed with all the bells and whistles that clean energy and energy efficiency bring. You know, at the end of the day, when you go to buy a new home, you know, they have now convinced us that every home needs granite countertops. So you walk into the house like, hey, this house has granite countertops. We want solar to be the granite countertop. We want tankless water heaters to be the granite countertop. So when you go to buy a house, your checkoff list includes, you know, hey, do you have stainless steel? Does it have a granite countertop? Does it have solar? Does it have a tankless water heater?
Oh, right.
You know,
good.
And that's what we need. And so with new home construction, I think we're going to be able to move there now. And the challenge for so many of us is actually that our homes aren't new. So how can we retrofit our homes? And part of that is actually not only just retrofitting the homes, but training ourselves. How do we actually start using energy? I mean, and I said this at the beginning of the show, but it is astounding that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, we are all using energy. When you are asleep, your house is on. And if you don't believe me, sneak down to your kitchen in the middle of the night, and it's lit up like the Enterprise. I mean, there's lights all over the place. It's, you know, your alarm clocks, your TV that you thought you turned off when you fell asleep, it's still on. I mean, everything is still drawing power. So we got to start controlling that better.
And thank you so much, David, for your call. More phone calls in a moment. All righty, let's go to more phone calls. Dave in Appleton is next. Brian, hi, Dave.
Good afternoon. Our utility offered a free program where they were focused on energy, would come in and do a simple audit on your home, and it would also provide up to 12 compact fluorescent light bulbs, some water saving shower heads, and 3 LED bulbs. Now, I've been using compact fluorescent light bulbs for several years. And but what he did find a place for 10 or 12 of these things, and he said that when you put the light bulbs in, leave them on for at least an hour. That way, they've got a brain or a memory, and that they'll come on instantly. They'll attain their brightest capacity, and also they'll last much longer than if you don't.
Really?
And it doesn't say that on any of the packages. I went back and looked, and for what I've been seeing for the last 2 weeks, he's absolutely true. They're a lot brighter than my other ones, and I just wanted to hear your experts' thoughts on that. Why the light bulb manufacturers don't tell us this, if it indeed is true.
So, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of what we don't know, you know, is always kind of the frustrating part. When you flick your, if you were to take compact fluorescent light bulb and flick it up and down, you know, keep on flicking it off and on, that's going to burn it out faster. So that you're right. What you want to be able to do is actually turn it on and actually keep it on so that it starts to understand how it's supposed to work and when you need it. And one of the big rubs against compact fluorescence has been that they need to kind of warm up. And it really, actually it is true. I mean, if you put a compact fluorescent, you know, in your streetlight outside, it is really hard for it to warm up on a cold night. And so what you want to be able to do is actually turn it on, let it warm up, and then it starts to understand how it's supposed to work. You kind of train the light bulb, if you will, kind of to work the way that you want it. What's also interesting, though, and actually I should say, you know, Focus on Energy has been an incredible organization out in Wisconsin, and the work they've done is very key to everything we're talking about in Green is Good. It is exactly this stuff. It's getting people to actually see and hold these materials in their hands. You know, when they give you compact fluorescent light bulbs, I think they even may have given you a low-flow shower head. I mean, it's kind of like this stuff really counts. And then people can put it in right away themselves, or Focus, I think, even goes in, they'll put it in for you. But you actually can then start to become energy efficient right away. And what we've seen in just human behavior is that if somebody can actually take a quick, simple, easy, energy efficient action, then they'll want to take another one. And then they'll want to do another one and another one and
mm-hmm.
another one.
Right.
And so we really try to move people up what we call the food chain of sustainability. You know, it is as simple as turning off the lights when you're not in the room. And then how about turning off your computer when you're not using it? And then how about your flat screen TV? How about unplugging the cell phone chargers? Actually, how about changing a compact fluorescent light bulb? How about, you know, you move them all the way up the food chain, really to changing appliances and then ultimately even renewable energy to power the house?
How about an electric bike?
And an electric bike, exactly.
Which are they're big in Europe, I read in your book.
They're huge in Europe. And, you know, transportation alone is a huge issue. And we haven't even touched on that yet. But think about this. You know, we talked about the high school kids. You know, those kids, when their first, second car will just be a plug-in hybrid. And they won't even think about it. You know, folks our age were like, whoa, the car you plug it in, are you crazy? That could never happen. But kids today,
these kids today.
Exactly. But they're growing up and they're like, duh, of course you plug it in. We plug in everything. We're charging things constantly. Why wouldn't you plug in your car? So it's kind of the opportunities with this generation are actually very exciting. You can really see that they're going to start living energy smart. They're going to beat us at it. They're going to be energy smart, even though they're using more energy than anybody else. They're going to start having more respect for it.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that. Brian, we need to have you back when we have an hour that has more time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank
really
you. All kinds of advice we didn't even get into, as Brian said, very much about transportation. Brian Keene, our guest, the book, and it is yours for a pledge of $120 this hour. Green is Good. Save money, make money, and help your community profit from clean energy. The pledge number is 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, or you can also go to WPR.org. Don't worry, we'll have him back for a full hour. I am Kathleen Dunn, and Lisa Nalbandian is joining me here in Milwaukee. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. We want to keep bringing you, and we will, topics like environmental issues, global warming. We have done many of them. We deem it a very important issue, and your support makes those conversations happen. It's easy as that. So give now. Any amount makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help make the programs you depend on possible. We're looking for 20 more pledges in the next 5 minutes. Make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying, how could you not, the conversation with Brian Keene, author of Green is Good, a very important, informative, and interesting show as well, and we do so many of them on this program.
Now take a few minutes to make this hour possible. Choose an amount that makes sense to you, then go on ahead and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's you who decides the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters. Every pledge helps pay for the programs that you love. Ask for Brian Keene's book, Green is Good, as your thank you gift when you give $120 or more, and that's $10 a month. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Marcy from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio. First of all, the word obsessed has been used with public radio. I've been listening to nothing but public radio for probably upwards of 20-some years. When I made a transition moving back to Wisconsin after being gone for 20-some years, it was a great way for me to sort of get back to what was going on, feeling involved. It was a great connection, and I think that's probably the word that I think of the most. I feel very connected when I'm listening to public radio. I'm a sustaining member because I don't have to think about it. Well, first of all, it's so easy. I don't have to do anything. I wish all my bills could just magically be paid that way. And although it's not a bill for what it gives back to me, it is something that I'm willing to pay for. It enriches my life. It's invaluable to me, so I'm happy to give back.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our spring membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Lisa Nalbandian is with me, and we're asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of $10, $15 a month, whatever you choose, is so appreciated.
It may be time to play a larger role at Wisconsin Public Radio. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs.
Leadership Circle members value the compelling public radio that so many people in our communities rely on, and they want to make sure that it will be here today and tomorrow for all who listen. If you would like to increase your support to WPR and join the 9XM Leadership Circle, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio to expand your horizons. You get the best talk, news, and entertainment every day. You know, the information that you receive can inspire you maybe to think a little bit bigger, or even in the case of this hour, a little bit more creatively about issues.
Turn off the computer.
Right.
Change my life. Mm-hmm. And when you donate to that high quality talk and news that's available to you and to your community, your gift of any amount is added to the gifts of others to make big things happen at WPR. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking to get 19 more pledges
All right.
in the next 3 minutes. So take the time right now to show your support of Kathleen and all of her work. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Many listeners become donors out of a sense of doing the right thing, of social responsibility, because you think of WPR as a shared resource and because you've been getting value out of it over the past year or two or more, 20 or 30. It's time to put something back in.
So make a donation for yourself, of course, but also for all of Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin Public Radio is truly a Wisconsin
yes, it is.
Resource. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
After you've made your donation to WPR, another way that you can help is to tell your friends and your family.
You can do that, you know, maybe on social media or over the telephone. Do people still call people the telephone or mention it when you see them? Just let them know that you support Wisconsin Public Radio. And, you know, that can kind of encourage them to do the same thing.
Please ask for Brian Keene's book, Green is Good. You'll like it. You can save money, make money, help your community profit from clean energy. $120 pledge only this hour. It is worth it. Lisa Nalbandian, thank you very much. What's the number again?
888-202-2552.
And there's a website.
There is WPR.org.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for all of your pledges. Thanks to Lisa and to KP Whaley, who produced this program. And thanks to you for pledging and for listening. And thanks to Katie Madsen. Thanks, everybody.